to be. But I tell you that because just like a lot of you in here, I had to learn what a good, good father was. I had to learn. And how I learned was this word right here. If you ever want to see your life changed, you got to get in this word. This word is what will change you. See, I started believing it. I started reading it. And I started letting him minister it to me. And he started healing me. And he took me through a long process of healing. And I guess I'm just making a case that if you get in this word, you will know a good, good father. Because, see, regardless of how your childhood was, he can do immeasurably more. Amen? So, I don't know if any of you know, but, oh, I almost forgot. And one thing I felt like the Lord wanted me to say is, like I was telling you, in the beginning of the year, the Lord started ministering to me, you know, about knowing him as Abba, Father, and that what that was a secure sense of belonging, that you were okay, you could be secure. And who doesn't want to belong? Who doesn't want to know where they belong, right? And that's what he is, a secure sense of belonging. And as he started ministering that to me, I was asking the Lord, well, what do you want me to tell your people today? And I felt like the Lord impressed upon me, tell them that I want them to know their father. I want them to know their father like you do. Like if you knew somebody, like say a woman who was raising her kids on her own and the father was absent, and she might say, I wish they knew their father. That's what he wishes today. He wishes that you knew your father. And so that's what he wants. And now, some of you might know, some of you might not, but on the Hebrew calendar, this year, 2018, is 5778. And on the Hebrew calendar, it means the year of the door. Because, see, in Hebrew, everything has a picture and a number. And they add the letters all together, and they have meaning. And that's part of our inheritance, right? So this year is called the year of the door, or some refer to it as the year of new beginnings. Now, I'm interested in that because really the Lord is the only inheritance I have. And if you'd put the next slide up for me, Thomas. See, that's why I brought this picture down here. Not that I think this is the way Jesus probably looks down here at the picture, but I wanted you to see. Because, see, this picture at the bottom represents my inheritance. That's what it stands for. That's what it's symbolic for. My father gave it to my grandmother when he proposed to my mother. And my grandmother kept this picture over her fireplace all the days of her life. And one day, I was saying, Lord, this is all I have. This is all I have as an inheritance. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, and it's enough because I'm your inheritance. I am enough. And Psalms 16, 5 through 6 says, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. What did he say he was? A secure sense of belonging. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places, and surely I have a delightful inheritance. And so, you know, so I hung on to that. That's right. The Lord said, that's all I need. That was all I needed. I needed him. And as long as I kept my face toward him, I would be okay. And so that's what I want to talk about today. That's what I've been asked to talk about, is a delightful inheritance, and particularly three appointed feasts of the Lord. So if the next slide is Exodus 23. So in Exodus 23, 14 through 17, it says, the three annual festivals, three times a year you are to celebrate a festival to me. Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread for 7 days. Eat bread made without yeast, as I commanded you. Do this at the appointed time in the month of Aviv, for in that month you came out of Egypt. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. Celebrate the festival of harvest with the first fruits of the crops you sow in your field. Celebrate the festival of ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather in your crops from the field. Three times a year, all the men are to appear before the sovereign Lord. So now, did everybody get that? Is there anybody here that's never heard this passage before? just by the raising of your hands. If you've never had this passage be brought to light to you, raise your hand. Because see, in this passage, the Lord is saying they are three appointed feasts of the Lord. It says three times, do not forsake coming before me. So see, the feast of the Lord, as he just put up, are the feast of unleavened bread, Passover, the feast of harvest, Pentecost, and the feast of the ingathering tabernacles. Now, a lot of people think that these are Jewish holidays in the Old Testament for just Jewish people, and that Christians in the New Testament have Easter and Christmas, right? Now, we do have Easter and Christmas. I love Easter and Christmas, really Resurrection Day. But I love Resurrection Day and Christmas. But you can look the whole Bible over, and the only three feasts that you will find he says to celebrate are the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Passover, the Feast of Harvest, Pentecost, and the Feast of the Ingathering Tabernacles. These are the three times that the Lord said come before him. Because, you see, he ordained these days to pull you aside and to equip you and to empower you for your next season. So isn't it funny or odd that most of us sitting here may have never heard of them? So, see, these same feasts, they're not just Old Testament feasts. All these feasts were partaken of in the New Testament. Like when Jesus was crucified, he was crucified on Passover. See, the Lord chose for him to be crucified on Passover, because what Passover was when the Israelites got brought out of Egypt, and the Lord told them to put the blood of the lamb on the door, and that death would pass them over, and they would be delivered out of Egypt into the promised land. And what happened was, and that's exactly what happened, but see, the Lord said, now I will make that complete, because on that day, now the ultimate sacrifice will be made, because Jesus is the ultimate lamb, and his blood was shed. See, the Lord could have had him crucified on any day, but he chose this day, because it is special to him. And that shows me that the Lord observes these feasts, right? So the same feasts that were in the Old Testament was celebrated in the New Testament. And the Feast of Ingathering, it celebrates his indwelling glory. It's about he wants to dwell with you. And it was when they were in the wilderness, they set up little temporary tents. And he said, well, set them up. I will come. I will dwell with you. And so that's what it's about, the indwelling glory, right? And that's the one that the Lord says we will partake of together in heaven. We're going to do that. Because why? Because that day is special to him. So these 3 days really would be like if the Lord told you, get out your calendar and mark down these three appointments. I have appointments with you. So why do we not know how special they are to God, right? Because he said these 3 days. Now, see, a lot of people think because they were in the Old Testament, they don't have as much as importance because we're under the New Covenant, right? But that makes them even more valuable. That makes them even more valuable, because here's what people do. Like who knows that scripture, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. If you know that scripture, raise your hand. That's right. We stand on it, don't we? Well, that's Old Testament. You know, or the scripture that says, the Lord bless thee, the Lord keep thee, the Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace. See, we love that one, right? And that's the Old Testament. And we love the one that said, man wasn't meant to be alone. I'll make him a suitable partner. And we use it at all of our weddings, and that's Old Testament. So why do we have a hard time embracing this? Because it's Old Testament. Because all the apostles, the disciples, they were doing this. When Jesus stood up and Jesus said that famous quote, is anyone thirsty? He was at Feast of Tabernacles. It says right before he was crucified, they were preparing for Passover. You know, these were feasts unto the Lord. These were special days. He said, I want to have an appointment with you, to connect with you. See, that's what they were all about, to connect. He said, I want to have these times. I want to connect with you. I want you to come and be connected. And I love it because you remember that saying that was real popular for the longest time, what would Jesus do? Well, Jesus would observe these feasts. That's what Jesus would do because they were special to God. And these, they're eternal. They weren't temporary until we found something to take their place. They're eternal. And they're still here for us today. And see, I think that is what I'm supposed to do today, is just open your eyes to what's available for you in your heritage. Because that's part of our inheritance. And it's a part that a lot of us don't know anything about. So he says, 3 times a year, celebrate the Feast of the Lord. The Feast of the Unleavened Bread, Passover, the Feast of Harvest, Pentecost, and the Feast of the Ingathering Tabernacles. All conscious efforts to help draw us closer to God. Now, see, I want you to understand what this was about. See, 3 times a year, just a conscious effort to draw us close to God. We were supposed to know these. We were supposed to teach these to our children so they could teach them to their children. That was God's intention. And see, what it is that at Passover, we learn that he's a deliverer. And every time we partake of it, we remember he delivers, that he sets people free, that he takes us out. And then there's Pentecost. And see, it's the time that he reminds us, I fill you up. I strengthen you. My word defines you. And then he takes us into tabernacles. And then he says, I chose you. I will never forsake you. I love you. And it was a rhythm. It was a heartbeat. And it was something that was supposed to be taught to us from the time we were little. See, imagine if you were taught that. I want you to think about you, wherever you are in life right now. Imagine if you were taught that every year you knew there was going to come a time that you would be remembered, that you could remember. You knew, oh, no, that's right. My God delivers. My God is all the power I need. He's all the strength I need. His word tells me who I am. He created me. He has a purpose for me. He'll never forsake me. And it just kept going like that, and it kept beating. And every time you celebrate them, it was just one more aspect of knowing I'm loved, I'm free, I'm accepted, I'm enough. He defines me. He made me special. He's everything I need. He'll bring me out. There's no way he can't open. There's nothing he can't do. See, it was a reminder. It was supposed to be a heartbeat. Do you see? That's why he said, these three are important. These are my important days. Don't forget them. Teach them to your children. But, you know, I'm excited because it's never too late. You know what I'm saying? It's never too late. And it's amazing to me that the more and more I hear churches starting to embrace that. Because, see, that's God's heart. It's his heartbeat toward. Because, see, what happens is we grow up and we get in the world. And the world is like an escalator. It'll take you down, right? But these feasts, they were meant to be a cycle that took you back up. No, don't forget. So, because we drift. If we don't stay close to him, if we don't really take his word in, and eat of it and live off of it and let it be life, because that's what it has to be. See, we drift. We'll drift away. Then the world will start telling you who you are, and you don't want that. See, the world will start telling you what you can do and what you can't do. And see, you'll get on that escalator going down, and we were meant to go up. And so the Lord ordained these three feasts every year just as a reminder for his people, just as a heartbeat. No, you stay close to me. You will never be bound up. You will always be free. Stay close to me. You will do what you were intended to do. I'll tell you. I'll show you. I'll help you. I'm always here. I'm always here. Now, doesn't that sound like a good, good father? See, that's a good, good father. And it's a heartbeat. I keep saying it because I want you to feel it. I want you to feel it. Because, see, he wants that heartbeat to beat in you. He wants it to beat in you. Every person that's here, he says, oh, I can deliver you. There's nothing you've done I can't take you out of. There's nothing that I can empower you to stand up against. And I love you. I want you. You're special. See, God's still waiting. Here's the thing. See, the Roman imperial government, that could be a whole teaching in itself, so I'm just going to throw out a little piece of it. But that... there was persecution going on, and the Roman imperial government was putting pressure on the church to change the calendar. And they did. They changed it to a Roman calendar. And that's what we have today. Now, I'm not one of those crazy people that's saying you shouldn't follow the days on the calendar, but I'm telling you, it wasn't God's timing. And during that time, we got jerked out of that timing. But see, just because the world changed, the Western world, our world, God didn't. And he still has those appointments. And they're still on his calendar. And they still have your name by them. And he still wants to pull you in and show you everything that was meant to be shown on those days. Now, we serve a good God. He'll show you any day of the week. But I'm just telling you, you know, these are not legalistic things, but these are things where God said, meet me and you'll see. So I know there's got to be something to that. If God says, keep these three feasts, there have got to be power and equipping behind them. There's got to be that purpose, that heartbeat, right? And you know, like today, how we have so many schools, you know, kids coming and shooting up the schools, kids cutting themselves. We have so much going on in the world today that we used to never have. And I can't help but think it's because they don't know that heartbeat. They don't really know who they are anymore, you know. They don't know that. They don't have that heartbeat. That heartbeat that God loves them, that he can deliver them, that he's got a purpose for them, that he will never forsake them, that he can empower them, that he's bigger than any other voice. Amen? But see, God is still waiting to keep his appointments. All we got to do is show up, and if we show up, guess what? We get blessed. That's the worst thing that could happen if you take this by faith, is you will be blessed. Amen? So now, what I want to concentrate on is the Feast of Pentecost, because who knows that today is the day God said, meet me. Today is Pentecost. And the Feast of Pentecost is a celebration of God's physical provision. In the beginning, they brought their wheat provision. It was wheat. You know, they grew wheat. And during this time is when the crops came in, and they would thank the Lord for it. Thank you, Lord, you provide. You provide. Well, see, he still provides. Today's the day. If you need provision, today is the day you need to say, thank you, Lord, you will provide. And by faith, I'm going to believe that you're going to provide what I need. Now, understand, that's not what you want. That's what you need, right? But the Feast of Tabernacles, Pentecost, was God's the celebration of God's physical provision. And because it was such a special day for God, and God observes these feasts too, then when the Torah was given on Mount Sinai, am I saying that right? Woo! Okay, so on the mountain, when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, it was on Pentecost. Did you know that? See, now that didn't make it Pentecost. That just made it that God did a great, amazing thing on an awesome day. His awesome day. Do you see? So that's when the Ten Commandments was given to Moses, and he brought the word to the people. And that's why people refer to the Jewish people as God's chosen people, because he gave them the word first. See, they were the first ones to get the word. So this is the day to affirm the bond between you and God's word. Because the only way that I know what a good father is I've stayed in his word. And see, this is the day that his word was given. So what Pentecost was, it turned into a celebration where they would stay up all night and they would study the word. They would study the word because the Jewish people said that it was a day that they married the word. It was a wedding day, Pentecost, because it was the day they married the Word. Because it was such a beautiful day, they bonded with the Word of God. See, that's what's missing, I think, is we haven't bonded like that with the Word of God. See, we got to become one with the Word of God. And when we become one with the Word of God, then the Word of God had become one with us. And that's the same with a good Father. So this was a great day to renew your love for the Word. Now, I just want to try to explain to you just how much the word defines us, because and I was like, well, what scripture can I use? Because all of it's so amazing. It really is. I encourage each one of you today to just ask the Lord to give you that love back for the word of God, because that will change your life. That will change your life. That will change your opinion on everything. And so I chose Psalms 19, 7 through 14. Can you go ahead and put that up for me, Thomas? And I just want to explain to you, just in this chapter, how bonding with the Word of God changes things. See, it was the love of the He gave us the Word. He loved the Word. What was the Word? The Word was Jesus. And even then on that mountain, He gave them that. He gave them the Word. And He said, bond with this Word. Know how special you are because I'm giving you the Word. On Pentecost, His special day, He did that special thing. Can you put that scripture up for me? Okay. So I just want to read this, and then I'm going to tell you exactly what, you know, I'm just going to read off what happens. So in Psalms 19, 7 through 14, it says, The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So see, what that says is when we bond with the Word of God, when we become one with the Word of God, it says it will refresh our soul. Now, as I read this list of stuff, I want to just suggest to you that isn't that what a good, good father would do too? Because when we bond with the Word of God, when you bond with this Word of God, and bond means connect. See, when you connect with the Word of God, it is going to refresh your soul. When you bond and connect with the Word of God, it'll make you wise. It'll make you so wise. When you connect with the Word of God, it'll bring joy to your heart. And when you connect with the Word of God, it gives light to your eyes. And when you connect with the Word of God, it'll warn you. It will. It will warn you. And it will reward you. You will have great rewards from bonding with the Word of God. And it forgives your hidden faults. See, because it reveals them. When you read the Word of God, oh, He'll reveal it to you. But He's so gracious. That's what He'll do. He'll reveal your hidden faults to you. Because, see, He's not about shaming you. He's about loving you. And you'll know that when you bond with His Word. It says, it keeps you from willingly sinning. I think that's so beautiful. Because I think sometimes we don't realize when we willingly sin. You know, we think we've got the right to maybe say what we want about anybody. We don't. You know, we got to really watch the things that come out our mouth and the things we do. Or we think, well, if people ain't watching, right? Like at home, I can really talk any way I want to. No. You know, but the Lord, the Word, He's so gracious. See, He even forgives us of our willing sins. Because He's so good. And He wants to bond with you today. He wants you to bond with His Word. You are what His Word says you are. Nothing else. Nothing else. And the last part, the I know until I started studying for Pentecost, what I thought Pentecost was that great day when the Spirit came down and those they spoke in tongues and the fire was on them, and it says they had tongues of fire, and that is, that did happen on Pentecost, and it happened mightily. But you know what blessed me was that didn't make it Pentecost. That was just Daddy doing something special on a day he said was special. And then that was Pentecost. That was the first time his Spirit was poured out. See, he could have picked any day. I think some of us think that's why it's called Pentecost. But no, Pentecost already existed. But his Spirit came rushing out. And you know, I was thinking about that in Acts 2. And it says that people thought they were drunk. And you might think that because the Spirit poured out like that, that it was confusing, right? But then it goes on to say that if you just put the next slide up, Thomas, it goes on to say that when they spoke in tongues, that the language that the tongue came out was the language of the native people. And when the people that lived in the land heard them, they were like, how are you all of a sudden speaking our language? So see, what I'm trying to say is when the Spirit came on them, it brought understanding. That's what God showed me. When the Spirit came on him, it really brought understanding. Because see, he empowers you to understand. When he comes on you and he brings you power, it will bring understanding. All of a sudden, they were able to talk to people. They were able to minister to people that couldn't hear him before. But now they could hear him. Because the Lord will empower you to understand. Now, there's a lot of people here today that you don't understand a lot of things. You don't understand why a lot of things happen. But if you ask the Lord today, he will give you the power to understand. He will empower you. Because that's what it's about. See, today, this Pentecost is about thanking the Lord for what he's already provided. Falling in love with his word again. You know, just bonding back with the, connecting back to the love for the word, and being empowered to walk out the next season. See, he wants to give you power to defeat your enemies. God's empowerment strengthens us to defeat our enemies, and we will always have to defeat some enemies. Amen. But God empowers us to do that, and today is a day like that. And we're fixing to play a song, not yet. But this is what, as I was preparing for this, you know, it's kind of a little raw for me, so I might not have all the words right. But all my life, really, I have, anybody that knows me, they know I've got nieces and nephews that I adore. And I have always been about making special moments. I always wanted to make so many special moments, and I apologize because it is a little raw for me, because the Lord just revealed this to me when I was doing this, and he was like, see, this is why I want you to know me as Father. I want you to understand. And so what the Lord showed me was, it all started with this song that we're going to play in a minute, but what the Lord showed me was, all my life I was trying to create these special moments. My poor little nephew that's 21 years old, I have made him carve every pumpkin. I have made him decorate every Christmas tree. We're going to make these special Christmas ornaments. We're having this Thanksgiving meal. We're going to do this thing. We're going to say how thankful we are. We're going to do everybody's, and we're getting pictures took. Because anybody that knows me knows we don't really got that many family pictures. There's only two pictures of me as a child. And my middle sister don't even have one until we get into high school. So, you know, all my life I was like, I'm going to create these special moments. I'm going to create these special moments. And I felt like the Lord told me, you got to quit fearing what wasn't so you can embrace what is. Do you hear that? See, you got to quit fearing what wasn't so you can embrace what is. Because see, here's the thing. No matter how many special moments I create, and we've had fun, but no matter how many special moments I create, it's not going to change the fact that I didn't have them when I was a child. Right? But what I felt like the Lord whispered to me was, just because I didn't have that, just because that wasn't, don't mean that now that I wasn't created special. I was always created special for him. And that's what is. So he said, it's time. And you know, he brought me to Matthew 8, 21. And now this scripture is talking literally about a person that had passed away. So I just want everybody to know that I know in context, this scripture is talking about somebody literally to be buried. But when I read the scripture, the Lord just put on my heart that we do this in the spirit too. And there was disciples all around the Lord, and they were coming to the Lord, and they wanted to, you know, follow the Lord. And the Lord was telling them, well, follow me. And one of them said in Matthew 8, 21, another disciple said to him, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Well, when he said that, the Lord said, no, you let the dead bury the dead. You follow me. And when I read that, I felt like the Lord was showing me in the spirit, that's what we do. That's what I was trying to do with all those special things. See, I was trying to lay to rest something that hurt me. I was trying to lay to rest that it hurt me that I didn't have. See, I don't remember one birthday. I never remember a birthday cake. I don't remember nothing like that. I pray you do. But, you know, I felt like the Lord was telling me, you know, you were trying to lay it to rest, but all you ever had to do was follow me, and I'll take care of the rest. Because I'm your secure sense of belonging. You've always been special. And no matter what has happened, no matter what was, it don't change what is. And he says, you know, maybe it wasn't like that for your youth, but I am now. And so see, we go from now, right? So I thank the Lord for that, because I never realized really that I was trying to feel something that I'd never be able to feel. But I just had to surrender. You know, I just had to surrender it. And I had to quit fearing what wasn't and understand what is. And just follow him. And just follow him. Just follow him. And let the Lord worry about what he's going to lay to rest. And see, that's a lot of you in here. When you have those little relationships, those turmoils, those relationships, it goes deep with the Father, because it's about emotional healing. See, it goes deep. When your bond with your father or your mother is fragmented, it comes down to emotional healing. So really, when the Lord told me at the beginning of the year, I want you to know me as Father, he was really preparing me where we're going to get emotionally well this year, because I'm going to let you understand a few things better than you used to. So see, that's what it's really about. And as we play this song, when I heard this song, I was just like, that's right, Lord. You are my secure sense of belonging, and you define me. You're my reality. We live in such a world where everybody wants to hear the reality, right? Let's watch these reality shows. Well, what if the reality is the Lord wanted you not to fear what wasn't, but to understand what is? That wasn't, but he is the I am. So I just pray that you would just prepare your heart, that you would just let the Lord minister to you as we hear this song. Amen. I've did my part. I've told you about an appointed time that the Lord wanted to have an appointment with you. Now it's up to you. It's up to you to decide if you want to get that heartbeat going back. It's up to you to embrace that inheritance. That's up for you. That's for you to decide. But I just want to tell you that your yeses, that's what will transform your life for the best or for the worst. It's what we say yes to. But he wants you to say yes to him today. Now, the Jewish people believe that the time between Passover and this day, today, Pentecost, the 50-day period, they call it counting the armor. And every day they check themselves. They check themselves, right? And then on the 49th day, when it gets to be the 50th day, they believe that they'll receive something called the Manta Torah. It's spelled like M-A-N-T-T-A. And in Hebrew, it means the gift. Isn't that what they got? Isn't that what they received in Acts, the gift? It means the gift, and they believe what the gift is that you will be able to touch the divine. That's today. That is today. Now, I know we live in a world where sometimes if we're not careful, this book will be a book. And it'll sound good, but it's real. And today, there is an appointment with you and with God today. Today, he said. So I first, if the prayer team would want to come up, we're going to just do a time of prayer. And I just want to encourage you, if there's anybody here, I just want to start like this. If there's anybody here that has never accepted him as Father, then now is the time. And what I didn't tell you is, today he ordained the first day for me to preach from the pulpit, to give the sermon on his special day. How special is that? This is his special day, and he let me do it. And he orchestrated that all on his own. I didn't ask for that. So see, he knows how to make things special. He knows how to make you special. And I want you to know, if you're here today and you never accepted him, if you don't know a good, good Father, he wants you to know. So just now, if we just bow our heads and we would start searching our hearts. Just start searching our hearts now. If you're here today and you want to accept the Lord, if you want to accept the Lord as Savior, I just pray you would raise your hand. If you want to say, yes, I want to know him as a good, good Father, I pray you would raise your hand and you would meet a man that is so worthy. And you know what the great news is he wants to meet you. He's already said yes. He's just waiting for you to say. That invitation is open. If there's anybody that wants to accept him today as Father of their heart and their life. And then the second invitation that we want to extend is if you're here today and you want to renew the love for the Word. Because see, today is about that. It's about renewing our love for God's Word. It's about bonding. It's about affirming the bond between me and the Word of God. It's about letting the Word of God go deep in my heart. So if you want to do that today, if you want to ask, yes, Lord, renew my love for the Word, just raise your hand right now. Just raise your hand. Just tell him, you'll see. Yes, Lord, just renew my love for the Word. Take me deeper. Take me deeper. Help me to bond with that Word. It's our very life. If we don't connect with it, we won't know our purpose. We won't know who we really are. We'll only know who the world tells us we are. And then the third thing is today, there's power available. See, you might have struggled with something all your life, but today might be the day. What if reality was that today is the day that by faith you said, yes, Lord, special day? What if that was the reality? What if that thing that has kept you down, and it could be anything from just drugs, alcohol, women, just broken relationships, depression, sickness, anxiety, worry, fret, whatever it is. See, this is a day that the power goes forth to get from God, I thank you. I thank you that we go out just like we come in, proclaiming you are a good, good Father. Lord, I thank you that you do immeasurably more. And Lord, I know that you spoke to the heart of your people today. So Lord, I stand in the gap for them. And I ask for the ones that don't know you, Lord, that they would surrender to you. And Lord, I ask for the ones that know in their heart that they've let the love for your Word grow cold, and that they hadn't affirm that bond in a long time. Lord, I pray that you would let your power pour out and meet them right where they're at in their seat right now, Lord. That you would affirm that bond for them. Lord, that you would renew the love of the word throughout this room. And Lord, I pray now for your power to come upon us, Lord. Not because we deserve it, but because you said if we ask, you'll do it. So Lord, I ask for everybody in this room. I ask for the ones who need to be empowered to break out of a structure that has held them for years. I ask that today, Lord, would you show yourself faithful and would you pour your power out and they would see for themselves what you could do. What a good, good father can do. Lord, I ask that you would show them. That you would show them, Lord, even despite their disbelief, show them. Do for them what you've done for us, Lord. Set them free. Redefine them. Show them who you are. Give them that gift today. Lord, I honor you. Show us. Show us how to come in alignment with your word and your heartbeat. And I pray that you would keep that on every person's soul here, that you want them in tune with your heartbeat. I pray that as people leave here, they would never forget that. They were created to beat with your heart. Let it be for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless y'all. We're going to be up here. If anybody wants to pray, you just come on up. You just come on up. But just know today is that awesome day. And all you got to do is say yes. Amen. Amen.